Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording on November 1st. I hope everybody had a great October, November 1st, but we have an emergency podcast, because the Lions have made a big trade with wide-ranging implications, kind of mixed reaction from the Lions crowd as well. But we'll get into all that in a moment. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that's here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Bob.
Hello.
UJ.
Hello, Lions faithful.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
So, gentlemen, we've been debating since the offseason, even during the season, even as recently as our last episode before this. What are the Lions going to do with TJ Hockenson? Well, we finally have our answer. They trade him away. And what they gave up is relatively interesting. I just had it listed here. And then my screen did a little funky thing.
We gave up TJ Hockenson.
Thank you.
When you started.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the first thing.
More than that?
Yeah. So, fourth round. Okay. So the Lions gave up TJ Hockenson. And they got back from the Vikings a second round pick and a second round pick for next year, a 2024 third round pick. And then the Lions gave up their fourth rounder from 2024. And then there's a conditional fourth round pick. They gave back a fourth round pick that could be a fifth round pick if the Vikings win a playoff game.
If the Vikings win,
it becomes a better pick.
It's a fourth round pick.
It works in the Lions' benefit. It becomes a fifth round pick that they give up if the Vikings win. It's a fourth rounder if the Vikings lose a playoff game.
So, in other words, we give up.
Okay. Oh my God, we have to root for the Vikings to win a playoff game now. That is just really weird.
Yeah.
But we'll do whatever we have to do.
So,
do you think if we're playing them in the first round, we're going to throw the game?
So, Lions either give up. They give back TJ Hockenson and two fourth rounders, a 2023 fourth rounder and a 2024 fourth rounder. But if the Vikings win, then it becomes a 2023 fourth rounder and a 2024 fifth rounder.
I didn't realize.
Easy for you to say.
So two fourth.
I didn't realize we gave all that up.
Yeah, it's a little more than maybe you'd hope.
It's kind of bullshit.
And another trade with this is the second Brad Holmes Vikings trade, interdivision. You don't see a lot of these, and the Lions done two of them in a calendar year. Trading up, of course, with Jameson Williams with the Vikings, and now this pick or this trade. So, instant reaction. Let's go to Bob first, because I think you might have a different reaction than I did.
Yeah, well, I'm not happy with it because I wanted them to extend Hockenson, but I mean, I did see that it was a possibility because they hadn't really been negotiating with him for an extension, and it was a possibility, but I think he's an excellent player, and I think we'll miss him. So I'm not too happy about that. Plus, that makes the rebuild stretch out a little further because we're losing a piece. And I don't know what they're going to do now. But anyway, I'm not happy.
And the thing with this is Brad Holmes have a great track record, I would say, with drafting second rounders. And that's kind of the highlight of this deal for them. There's two things with it, I guess. They get it back at the second and third rounder, obviously higher than the two fourth rounders that they give up. But in addition, Hockenson is owed $9.5 million next year. His salary is going to go up a lot, which would put him, I believe, is the 11th paid best tight end in the NFL. And maybe you could argue that's like maybe fair, but he was looking for more than that. He's looking in the 10 plus million, which would put him in the top seven to top five range of tight ends in the NFL. And the Lions were definitely not willing to go there. They said we can spend that $9 million somewhere else, most likely on defense. Again, the Lions are 31st in spending on defense in the NFL. So that's the other stipulation with this as well, and what probably factored into their thinking here. And his value is never going to be higher than now because the team that acquired him is going to have that extra year of control. So I imagine they shopped him around everywhere in the NFL. This is the best value they could get. But UJ, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm going to miss Hawk as a player. I really like him. He's been a fun guy to watch on this team. I don't think he was utilized as much as he could have been on this team. I think we could have done more with him. He could have been even a bigger star. But that being said, I think my belief requires some faith in the rebuild. And I'm choosing to believe in this rebuild, okay? You can make that option. There's a lot of fans that hate what we're doing. Understandably so. We've seen it all before, but I'm making a conscious choice to believe in this rebuild that we are doing, saving $9 million in cap money next year, getting the extra draft picks, and going for the rebuild. Building up our talent through the draft is a very important part of a long-term rebuild, I think. So, I as we speculated in our last pod, I think a lot of us even saw this coming pretty much. If anybody was going to be traded on this team, we thought it'd be Hawk, and sure enough, it was. So I'm not totally surprised. I'm bummed that I'm going to miss the player, but I think it's overall a good move for the future of the franchise and the rebuild. Like I said, I'm choosing to believe in it. So,
Rud Dog,
leap of faith.
You know, it's a little bit of a mixed bag for me. I proposed the Swift in the trade scenario on the last pod because he hasn't done much for us at all, but that's also probably why he's not very tradable either. But, you know, Hawk was kind of heating up. I was excited to see him get a whole season of being healthy and developing on this team. You know, I've never been a fan of the pick. I like the player, though. And the compensation is kind of, like the second round pick is nice. But overall, it doesn't feel like we got much up on getting rid of him. And then, like you said, Bob, Brad Holmes' draft picks in the second round. Though we could use that to trade up. All that being said, is this feels almost like a move to just be like, hey, we can't really provide you hope right now, but we can provide you hope for our future by getting more draft capital to build this team the way, you know. But so it's kind of like a bittersweet, not all that exciting move, honestly. If we get worse on the field, probably. Though our tight ends are decent. Behind him, like Mitchell's shown some promise now, and well, Brock's out, I guess. But yeah, I mean, overall, not all that exciting, other than just the fact of it. You know, it's a big move, but a little bit of a bummer. And hopefully, they'd use it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the move. I was not a fan of paying TJ Hockenson. I just don't think he's is proven he's worth the value that he was seeking. And it seemed like kind of a mutual, you know, parting, if you will. He gets to go to a contender now. We get yet another Lions player. We get to see what he looks like outside of Detroit in a different system to see if he lived up to the potential and maybe he never could quite in Detroit. So that'll be interesting to watch. And the fact that he goes in the division is really interesting. Like, we'll face him twice next year now.
Yeah. That is weird.
I kind of disagree with you a little bit there, because I don't think he was a guy who never developed. I think he was at a Pro Bowl a year or two ago, and I think he's a good player. He's going to be paid, and I just think it's the Lions don't value that position as much to pay for it.
Have we ever valued that position?
We definitely valued it.
Like we do, but then we don't call the plays like we do.
Talking about the current regime, not...
Oh, I'm just saying it kind of fits. The last several regimes have been the same way. We have good tight ends, and they never use them right.
Yeah, but they did value it because they drafted him really high.
Yeah, so, I know that's what drives you crazy. They value it, and then they don't know how to
use it. He's saying this current regime doesn't. And I think that at least fits more with what the Rams model. The Rams haven't haven't paid out the nose for a tight end either, although they haven't had a great one. But that's just kind of their system. I mean, Hawk had those one big game this year. But he
his best game since his first.
But he
game.
Comes and goes. But I don't know if that's more of the you know, the game plan or Hockenson himself. I just don't think for the contract he was looking for, it didn't seem like it was ever going to work out. I am more than fine because the problem isn't the tight end position. I think we'll be more than fine without it. We can find replaceable enough level talent there. And put that money to better use, especially on the defense
right,
side.
See,
real depth in the defensive backfield. Maybe find more depth in the defense is what we need so badly. So right now with this move, that gives the Lions currently $30 million in cap space now for next year. I would expect Aquara to be cut next year. That would save $11 million on the cap. So that gets it to $41 million. Then Michael Brockers is definitely going to be gone. That'll free up $10 million. So Lions are looking at $50 million in cap space. And then I would expect Big V to be gone too, and that frees up another $9.5 million. So you're looking at roughly $60 million cap space just with those three cleared off the books. And if the Lions wanted to, they can make Jared Goff a cut and save $25 million more next year as well, and get $85 million in cap space. Because Jared Goff would only be $5 million against the salary cap, and that was because of the bonus that they spread out in the offseason.
I think the money is definitely the most. Well, that's where it's sort of a lame trade because the money is the most exciting part of it, honestly. Well, I guess the draft pick, but like you're saving a bunch of money by getting a good player off your team. Whoop-de-doo. But I mean, that is the thing. But it's not just the money he's owed next year. It's like you said, it's the money he's going to want. And I don't think we are ever going to be able to pay him the money he wants and sees himself as, unless he really stepped up to a next level. But I think he already was going to be asking for money outside of sort of what
I don't know
worth.
About you guys, but this even signals to me more that the Lions are in. They envision drafting their quarterback of the future or finding their quarterback of the future next year. I don't think it's going to be Jared Goff. I think it's going to be somebody else. They're going to use these cap savings to build up the rest of that roster, bring in that last piece, which is the quarterback. I don't think they're not going to wait till year four of this to get the quarterback. They need it year three. Otherwise, everybody's going to be fired.
I agree with you 100%. They need their quarterback. They kind of sort of got stuck with Goff in the way that Stafford deal worked out.
Well, they get stuck with Goff because there's a great package out there too. They decided to go with the Rams.
Brad Holmes wanted Goff.
Holmes liked Goff. I don't think that's they were stuck with that. I mean, that's what I felt as a fan, but I thought Holmes actually liked him. And
I think he liked him enough as a bridge quarterback, someone that could hold the tent down while he finds his real guy.
Someone young with still some upside.
A chance to be the guy.
He's not old though. That's what I'm saying. I believe what you're saying that he would be a bridge guy, but I think when you look at what Holmes is doing, that he actually believed in Goff and then he can get him going with him.
Yeah.
But he can adjust on the fly. I mean, they adjust all the time, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we need this modern game though. We need a mobile quarterback that can at least he doesn't have to be a great runner like, you know, Jackson or whatever, but he has to be elusive in the pocket and be able to buy time and extend plays.
Mm-hmm.
And Goff can't really do that. He's great under good protection with good receivers, but he's not going to buy you time like a mobile quarterback would. And I think we got to get with the modern game here. I'm as an old guy saying this, it hurts me to say that, but we got to get with the game.
What?
I'm not sure that's necessary if you can put a good team around the guy, but it definitely helps when you got a guy who can create with his own leg. It just makes it easier to win games. Go ahead.
I would like a mobile guy, but I mean, even if it was a pocket guy, some guy with better decision making and a guy who make a few steps and elude the rush.
Well,
that's
what I'm talking about. Not really just a guy who can run all over the place, just a guy who can, you know, extend it. Wow. Get out of the pocket, avoid the rush for a little while, and you know, you still need a guy you can pass from the pocket. That's essential, but he's also got to have a little bit of looseness too, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Personally, for me, the jury's sort of still out on Goff, but I think either way, you draft a guy next year. We have tons of draft capital. Well, and it'll be super easy if the season continues on its current course. Like, if we tank and we get number one overall, it's like you don't even question it. But, let's say we do what I think we're going to do at the very least, which is claw out several wins this season and we're drafting, you know, or maybe even more. I mean, I don't know. If Goff looks good going throughout the season, I still think you draft a guy, but it's not as urgent. And either way, you draft him, you keep Goff. I think Goff having him around is just a benefit. He'll allow stability for a rookie quarterback to develop. So I don't know. I'm not down on Goff all that much, but I'm also not close to drafting his replacement either, especially if we get a shot at one of these top guys.
Yeah, Road Dog, I agree. I think even if they do draft a quarterback, that doesn't mean they're cutting Goff going into next year. I think they might keep him for a least.
Right. I just wanted to point out the fact that the Lions can save $25 million as a post June 1 cut with only $5 million in cap space.
And that number will loom very large.
It might.
Yeah.
Especially very large. Depending on the season finishes, if it's on the trajectory it currently is
right.
on.
He's got 10 games to kind of. Because right now, he hasn't been the problem. He's been a problem at times, but he's not the problem on this team. But the way these 10 games go will determine a lot.
So the Lions in 2023 have their first rounder, the Rams first rounder, which right now that would be the first and 13th overall pick. Then the two second rounders. They have five of the top 100 picks in the next draft with two second rounders, Lions jumps. And Vikings, and their own third, then their own fifth. Sixth.
I thought it was five of the 65.
So it's five of the top.
So Tim Twentyman was saying.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that would be five of the... Wait.
Both statements are true.
Yeah, as it currently stands, that would be five of the top 65. But I think they're just saying wherever they fall.
Also five of the top 65.
Well,
five of the top 77.
Yeah. Because they are the first pick, I guess, 65, they'd be first in the third round as well.
The thing is, too, like, here's the thing. Depending on how we finish this year, what if we do finish in the middle of the draft? Like, I'm just saying, hypothetically, that's pretty optimistic. I get that. Let's say we do finish, like, 10 to 15 range. Are you guys all on the trade-up, dump capital for your QB type move? Or do you think we get to take a chance to just keep building a ton of talent on this roster outside of Goff and then maybe take a shot later or in the draft or something?
I think it depends on the QB and if. You know, if it looks like a surefire thing, there's, I'd be willing.
It's well, two
just
things.
Assume trade to number
it's,
one.
It's two things because, like, I want to know if the Lions have a shot at another quarterback, like Lamar Jackson, for instance, in free agency. And if that's not the case, then I'm on board of saying yes, I want to trade up because I'm a big fan of C.J. Stroud already. That's the quarterback I want to see.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't do it for any other quarterback in this draft, but that's who I would do it right now.
Not Bryce Young,
no, I would not.
But Bryce Young's intriguing, too. I mean, if we can't get Stroud.
He's intriguing, but I wouldn't trade up for him.
It's his size. That's the only thing that is detrimental to me. But, he's a really good quarterback. But
Well, then if you don't get Stroud, then who would you get?
Is that kid from Tennessee? Looks pretty good.
I'm more wishy-washy at him because I don't know if he's just a product of an up-tempo system or if he's actually a good NFL prospect.
Is Stroud the closest thing to a sure thing in this draft, as far as I understand? Like, he's the guy, right?
I think so. Like, I think is
to a lot of people, he is.
He's pretty prototypical.
There's also a guy, Will Levis, from Kentucky, that people are high on. I'm not, but other people are higher.
He looked like crap in that Tennessee.
Yeah, he's had a weird offense at Kentucky. But, I just wanted to point out the salary cap stuff, though, because I do think there's a very good chance the Lions can cut Goff. Bring in a rookie quarterback and just start him right away because if they have the 60 plus million in cap space, potentially they can build up a team around when you have a rookie quarterback, that salary is so low compared to the rest of the league. It's such an advantage if you have a good rookie quarterback and build up the rest of your roster.
We already got the O-line, at least
that's what the Chiefs were doing. Like when Patrick Mahomes is really good for a while there. Now
they didn't have the O-line to start his career
for themselves. And, they didn't, but they were still winning. Cause they had enough money to spread around elsewhere while he's still on his rookie contract.
Tyreek Hill.
The Ravens have done that with Lamar Jackson right now. He's still on his rookie contract. It's a big benefit in the NFL to not have to pay your quarterback top money because they're going for like $40 million minimum, any top tier quarterback.
Sure.
Now, there's always they could be terrible. Like Zach Wilson right now in the Jets looks awful. Mac Jones doesn't look that great. So there's the huge risk of the unknown.
Should we trade for Mac Jones, guys? I saw that rumor out there.
No.
Or idea. That suggested not. Well, because Bailey Zappi was playing good. So people were like, well, let's get Mac Jones. Like, why?
Jameson Williams?
I wonder if CJ Stroud knows Jameson Williams, you know, because they were both at Ohio State. On if they were.
I'm sure there's some connection there.
Because a lot of times these guys, you know, they Burrow and Chase, you know, you get your good hook up from college into the pros, and then you go from there.
That would be an intriguing sight, though, to see Stroud and Jameson Williams out there on the same field together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. That would be.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, my God.
That would be cool. But are you guys going to – I know you guys agree with the trade and all or whatever, but you going to miss Hawk just as a player, like seeing him on Sunday?
I will.
Yeah, I'll miss him. He always played hard. You know, you got to respect it. I didn't love his blocking. I thought it just never lived up to what we drafted him for. So that's another reason I was not on the board with, you know, paying him Todd Dollar.
And his inconsistent production.
Explosive player like him. Like, I saw that game. I was at two of the games where he had, like, big plays this year. The last game, he had, like, 50-yard reception. Then the one he had, the 80-yard, 179-yard.
Neither for touchdowns. Yeah. Kick tackle inside the 10 to both of them.
Oh, my God. You're, like, criticizing
for
everything.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I just felt bad for him because he made a great play and then just, couldn't get in the end zone on either.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to miss that big playability, I think. And it was just starting to really burgeon. I wish we could have come by him by less, pricey means than getting spending a 10 overall pick on him. But I was liking the player he was becoming, so I'm a little bummed. But
we'll get to see him twice a year.
We will. And probably for the foreseeable future, I'd imagine the Vikings make this trade with the intention to sign him more long-term.
Yeah, that's a lot of capital. Well, it's not all that. I mean, I guess that second round pick's pretty high, but the rest of it's pretty strung out.
Yeah, it's not a horrible trade for the Vikings, considering they are in the driver's seat to win the NFC North.
I really feel like we should have had the second round pick, and like that's it, or like in another pick, not anything else on top of them. I don't know.
Also, some people think the Vikings are shooting their wad now, trying to win because of the situation they're in, and a couple years from now they're going to be in cap hell. So, some opinions that I've read. Mm. So, who knows? I mean, that's why you wonder if trading within the division, since we're not trying to win right now and we're trying to build, I mean, are we really worried about the Vikings 2 years from now?
Hell no. Nah. I just don't think the Vikings are very good. The NFL as a whole is kind of down, except for like the top tier teams like the Bills and the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Cowboys to some extent. But,
Wait, you don't worry about them because you don't think we'll ever be near the top of the league? Or is it like...
What the hell?
The Vikings? I just don't think they're very good.
No, the Lions.
I don't worry about
an in-division trade. Because
I'm not...
Doesn't matter anyway.
You know, at least the Lions are going to be going against a guy twice a year that they know really well. So they'll at least know, I think they'll have an idea of how to defend him, what works against him, what doesn't. I think that analogy is a positive.
I just don't worry about it because... Always focus on yourself. That's the only way to win. Once you know yourself, then you can defeat your enemies. That's what the Lions need to do more than anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe the Lions are going to trade for Aaron Rodgers next year and get some guy from the.
That
I'm just thinking
about
the other interdivision trades we can make. since
Will Rodgers throwing to Jameson Williams.
I'm sure our Rodgers line, involved with Monroe St. Brown as a wide receiver.
That was like our first in-season trade since 1995 or something in the division. So it's not. I don't think it's gonna be a regular thing.
No, I know.
Well, I don't know. Brad Holmes started it in the draft, right? To trade up to get J-Mo. Him and the Vikings are getting cozy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we just wanted to hop on here really quick tonight. I know it's not our normal podcasting night, but obviously big news to report, and of course we plan to go for like 10. Or minutes or so, and we went way over that. So, because we are very passionate about this, but that's all right. Because I know everybody listening here is just as passionate as well. Just an other note, too, the Bears traded away Roquan Smith. We already talked about that yesterday on yesterday's episode.
I would like that.
Traded they gave up a second for Chase Claypool, which is interesting. I don't know if that's a great move for them or not. I guess time will tell. But I don't think it was a good one. But I
feels more like a risky.
The Bears have $120 million in cap space next year. So they will be spending a lot of money this offseason. So the Lions have that to compete with.
Yeah.
So. Justin Fields looks interesting, though. Well, I guess we'll find out in a couple weeks.
Well, they're finally getting him some help with Claypool trade. So
yeah. Well, I think he needs more help in the, you know, not trying to get destroyed every play by the defensive line, because this offensive line is a parking cones.
Hey, do you guys think this trade happens with Hawk if what's his face? Oh my god, I just had his name. Mitchell doesn't make nice plays at the beginning of that last game.
He made one play.
But I was listening to somebody on the Detroit radio show. They're like, as soon as I saw him complete that pass to Mitchell, I'm like, Hawkinson's on the block this week. They throw into Mitchell. Like,
hey.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you everybody for listening. We're gonna wrap it up here. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Let us know your thoughts on this trade. I'm sure there's a lot of opinions out there. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Greatly appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, download, please subscribe, please leave a review. And of course, thank you to our producer, KJ.
KJ.
For producing the podcast, as always, greatly appreciate that. And thank you to you, listeners, for being just as passionate as we are about this Lions team. And I hope, no, we know you're drinking the Kool-Aid. That's why you're on here. We got to trust the process here.
Process?
Oh, no.
Have not patience, guys.
After all, if,
yes, we have no choice.
Got to power
unless we all buy the team together.
Pick up your hammers. And
should we just like have all the Lions fans? We buy everybody puts in $5 for a Powerball, right? The Powerball is at $1.2 billion right now. All the Lions fans, you know, however many, you know, that's 1 million Lions fans. $2 each, that's 2 million or 500,000 Powerball tickets. I don't know, there's probably more Lions fans than that I just described or less. But anyways, 500,000 Powerball tickets. I don't even know how you're going to buy 500,000, but we'll try to make it work in a matter of 24 hours. And then we'll win. We'll pay the 400 plus million in tax. So we'll take the 800 million that you win from it and, you know, offer that up as buy a large, large. Yeah, I know. They're probably worth like 4 billion or whatever.
Oh, it's a good idea.
Well, no, we'll put it in a Roth IRA and it'll grow.
There you go.
75 years, the children and offspring of the current Lions fans that invested in this pool will all become. We'll then buy the team. Although by that time, with inflation, it's probably worth $10 billion. So we'll never match up. I guess.
Yeah.
You talk about a long play, though. That's a good one.
Then you, Jay, will take that. Those winnings, go to the Motor City Casino, drop it all on black.
No, he drops it on red.
Red, he drops red, it on red. Red every time.
Okay.
Red every day.
All right. So thank Never you, loses. Everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go.
Go. Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.